Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is April 10th, 2017. And colleagues, today we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2906 relating to sharing geographic information. And I guess we need a little background on this.
Yes, Co-Chair Smith, members of the committee. Just as a bit of a refresher, House Bill 2906 does five primary things. It establishes an Oregon Geographic Information Council within the Office of the State CIO, and it specifies membership, purposes, and powers of this multi-jurisdictional council. Second, it requires public bodies, beginning in 2020, to share certain geospatial framework data under specified conditions and with specific limitations. The multi-jurisdictional council will determine what data is shared, how often the data is shared, and under what specific data standards. Those standards will be adopted by the council. Third, House Bill 2906 requires the state CIO to appoint a state geographic information officer to oversee and manage the state CIO's duties and functions under provisions of the Act. The state geographic information officer reports to the state CIO and will support the council's activities. Fourth, the measure requires the state geographic information officer to secure the geospatial data library, protect the availability and integrity of the information in the library, and provide secure electronic access to the library for purposes of sharing geospatial framework data. Finally, the measure establishes an Oregon Geographic Information Council fund and appropriates money in the fund to the state CIO for purposes outlined within the Act. Members of the committee, we do have some additional amendments to House Bill 2906 that are in formulation with Legislative Council. We've been working for the last month or so with members of the current geospatial data sharing work group and other stakeholders to draft a variety of amendments. Just in the way of a high-level summary, these amendments are designed to improve the readability and understanding of certain provisions within the Act. In regard to council membership, we received a request to add a city or county GIS manager to the list. Also, we've been asked to explicitly include a representative from a natural resource state agency as a potential OJIC member. We received a request to include terms of office language for the chair and vice chair positions of the council. There are two other provisions that essentially reinforce the intent of the bill. One, it is not the intent of House Bill 2906 to impair the ability of intergovernmental groups to collect fees from the sale of geographic data under ORS 191.050. Also, it's not the intent of the bill to in any way, actually, let me reverse that. It is the intent of the measure for OJIC and public bodies that have access to the data housed within the library to be aware of and to honor legitimate restrictions that are placed on the sharing or redistribution of data based on exemptions from public disclosure or various claims of copyright or other proprietary interests. Finally, in line with some of the other changes we've made to information technology bills this session, there is a request to remove the emergency clause associated with this bill and instead to include an effective date for the measure, which would begin 91 days following sine die of the 2017 legislative session.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions for LFO? All righty. So, colleagues, if you don't mind, we're going to head into the public testimony portion of public hearing. We've got six folks who are signed up. I'm just going to call two at a time here in the order that they've registered. So if Dean and Jerry, if the two of you could come on up. And so if everything stays good right now, we've got about 5 minutes for each one of you. All right. So if you just introduce yourself for the record, the floor is yours.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dean Anderson from Polk County, Oregon. Thanks for allowing this testimony. I provided written testimony that contains a hypothetical example of how data sharing of a new data layer called Culvert works now and some of the limitations that the process has and how it can work differently in the future. I hope this example addresses several of the issues that were raised during last week's testimony. In summary, the current structure of OJIC is generally state-centric and does not provide an explicit process for development, sharing, and maintenance of framework data layers. The hypothetical example identifies several problem areas that could be encountered when creating, sharing a new data framework layer called culverts. The new structure and focus of OJIC can address these issues. I think a key issue for it is the focus is on the process for creating for maintenance and the benefits of sharing and having the participants of all of the stakeholders involved and how that, I think, can really assist how this these data layers can be developed. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Smith, committee members. For the record, my name is Jerry Bohard. I'm with the Oregon Department of Transportation, and the GIS staff is part of my portfolio. First, I just wanted to thank Cy Smith and the LFO staff for being a member of the stakeholder group. It was a great experience and addressed, I think, certainly all of the concerns that we had going through the process. So I appreciate the opportunity to have been part of that effort. ODOT's been a member of OJIC since its inception, and I will tell you that under the old OJIC and the work of Cy Smith, it was a great partnership. I think we had opportunities for a lot of benefits, a lot of efficiencies that came through with that, but I'm really looking forward to a revamped OJIC because it includes our local partners. We have responsibility at ODOT to provide the transportation layer for the state, so that includes federal, state, and local partners, and so I think that with this new effort, it will make that a little bit easier for us to do that partnership with our local governments. So with that, I thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any questions? Yeah, Senator Johnson.
I have to be honest with you, Mr. Chair. I was a little surprised to see this back on because I thought we'd already dated and I've fallen in love already. So I am just trying to figure out why we're back.
Please.
Certainly, Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, the previous hearing was invited testimony only. We wanted to provide a second hearing to allow a broader group to come forward and testify should they desire. We made the entire work group, all 24 members and their associations, aware of today's public hearing, and so that's the purpose of bringing it back.
Well, then, these follow-up, Mr. Chair, these two witnesses are a perfect target of opportunity for my question. Would both of you opine on the nexus or lack thereof that would exist between 2601 and transportation projects?
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, I think I need a little bit more information on exactly what you're looking for.
What I'm trying to figure out, and I will be unoblique given that my oblique didn't work so good. Let's assume that there's a transportation package, and let's assume that we were looking for money to help pay for what is arguably going to be a pretty expensive implementation. Would you see adequate nexus between this project as described in 2601 and a transportation package with attendant funding that you could make that linkage if one wanted to have very clear sideboards around any revenue coming out of a transportation package as being integrally tied to transportation? Would you see this as a sufficient nexus to make that leap of logic?
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, I think one of the areas that there is definitely a link to this would be the project tracking. So the ability to certainly, at least at the state level, we have identified for the current step where all of our projects are. And I think that question around accountability and transparency, the work that's going on here could very much link to being really clear about the information that we would want to provide on all projects, whether at the local level or at the state level. It would take some work to do that, but we've certainly been doing that work at the state level.
Thank you. And just a follow-up, if we were trying to get accurate mapping to identify locations of culverts or with specificity, now I think we sort of kind of know, but if we had geospatial information with respect to that kind of detail, would that be helpful with your planning?
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, yes, I think that probably the tricky part is the asset information that we have at the state level versus the asset information that might exist at the local level. We actually know the location of most of our culverts, not necessarily all of the conditions, and that is a very expensive endeavor to collect all that asset information. Now, if it's collected and there's a way to sort of commingle the data, I think actually a lot of the work that we've been doing earlier with OJIC and certainly in this bill would help to facilitate that happening a lot easier than it had in the past.
Thank you. Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, I'm not a transportation person, but am responsible to ensure that the culvert inventory that Polk County maintains exists and it is accessible. We have 5,000 some odd culverts that we manage and maintain an inventory on. I can repeat, it's an expensive process to do. Ensuring that upfront that we identify standards that we all agree on, that is a minimum standard that's common to all participants, is going to be incredibly important to some kind of effort like that. How that fits to a transportation bill, I'm not a transportation person, but I can also say different counties and different cities probably have different ways of managing their data.
Mm-hmm. Your testimony, Mr. Anderson, gives rise to one more question, and it is something that I have observed in my time in the legislature, and that's how turfed up everybody is with their data. In order for that's a technical term, Mr. Chair. In order for something like 2906, no wonder you were confused, Ms. Bohard. Sorry about that. In order for this to work, I think it has to be everybody in the boat. And I already am hearing grumbling about how proprietary and special everybody's data is. I guess I look at this from a totally different perspective. This is a benefit to the entire state of Oregon and an asset for the entire state of Oregon. And I'm trying to get a county perspective on why counties are now considering their data little snowflakes that can't be commingled with the other little snowflakes. And I'm sorry about the bill screw up, Jerry. No wonder you didn't know what I was talking about.
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson. I think some of the way that we've done it, and one of the reasons I provided the written testimony that I did, is that statewide data layers, participation on OJIC being state-centric, even though local governments are often invited to those, it's more viewed as this is being done for the state up front. And at the back end, when the standard comes out and says, we want your data, then there's definite feeling of, well, we weren't stakeholders in the process. And it's just is a real illustration of the difficulties of OJIC and how it's structured right now. And I think sitting down with the folks that are capturing the data, maintaining the data, and recognizing the cost associated with doing that, as we've already said, an inventory is an expensive thing, and identifying the benefits of having an intermingled system between state culverts, city culverts, county culverts, as an example, I think gets over some of that. The other piece is there are times, and again, I provided this in an example, and I picked something that was being a biologist a long time ago, I used an example from those days. Say, for example, that given a lack of an inventory, a conservation group went out and inventoried all culverts that were on fish-related streams and graded them for fish passage. In that particular example, inventory is not something as a biologist that I would have on my list that would meet a state standard or a county standard for an inventory. But if that information then gets used as a statewide data layer, it causes a lot of confusion and frustration at a local level, because if someone says, well, here's your culverts in Polk County, those aren't my culverts, those are something somebody else did. And if decisions then are based on information that isn't part of our process, there's going to be frustration and maybe concern that our data should be proprietary. And that's a typical example of some of the frustrations from a local perspective. As far as Polk County goes, we stop charging for our data in the public environment. We went to a click-through license. Basically, you can download all our GIS data that we develop for your own use. Our main concern is liability and protecting privacy in those particular cases, and we described a couple examples. Public records law is not overly consistent in how it protects privacy of folks. And so when you start talking about people's names and where they live and those sorts of things, some decision makers get very concerned about releasing that and the potential harm that might cause folks. In the last two or three legislative sessions, if you're a public safety person, I think if I have it right, we're not going to release your address. But if you're a law enforcement person or the DA, we're not going to release your name, but the address. So it's a very inconsistent process, and providing that information to the public does have a certain amount of exposure to local government organizations, and there's concerns there as well. So I think those are the two reasons that I can think of off the top of my head.
Two comments. I find it fascinating that we've gotten this. I mean, I don't disagree with the underlying premise, but this sort of perverse notion of proprietary information when I could go to Google Earth and look into your backyard. And the other thing is that when we do undertake something as bold and as useful as this, we look around and find the enemy, and it's us.
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, that's exactly why we need this committee with all the stakeholders, because it is us. And if we can get us at the table up front, I think we can start to address these issues.
And that would be the committee described in House Bill 2906.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. So, Rebecca, Daryl, you folks want to come on up and share a few words with us?
And if you can please remember to introduce yourself for the record.
Can you hear well? Thank you. For the record, I'm Rebecca Gladstone, presenting for the League of Women Voters of Oregon.
I might have you pull that microphone just a little closer to you, just a little bit.
It's really hard. Sometimes they can hear me breathing.
Oh, it's perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
Co-chairs, Senator Manning, Representative Smith, members of the committee, thank you for hearing our testimony. We support, this is the League, efficiency and transparency in government and citizen access to information. Additional League positions are appended at the bottom of my submitted testimony. As with all proposed testimony this session, we consider cost. Almost all government data has a geospatial component, a definable location. To review figures, for the 2005-06 business case for the development of a statewide GIS utility, geospatial framework data related costs comprised 10% of our state budget, 5% of the agglomerated state and local budgets. In 2006 and 7, that ran to $5.4 billion. We were stunned by the $200 million annual expenditure for reconciling incompatible file formats and other fixes that could be largely averted by standardizing geospatial data file formatting and coordinating geographic information system formation information. Earlier testimony from the Polk County GIS officer referred to his more than 25 years on this existing council to be codified in statute by this bill. The League uses geospatial data for our voter services, both for elections and incumbent data. We research, compile, and present candidate and ballot information, ballot measure information. For the 2016 general election, we produced voter resources, our websites, covering more than 1,100 candidates around Oregon and 350-plus ballot measures. You can enter your address on our website during election seasons and see who will be on your ballot. I should make this a little bigger. I'm getting lost. What your ballot measures will be. With repeated outreach, we contacted county clerks, municipal elections officials, special districts to find candidate filings. We invited candidates to list with us, including links for their websites, social media, photos, a statement, and for many races, we posed League juried questions relating to the many local offices they were running for. We extracted data. We sorted it and posted it online. We produced voters' guides at the state level in English and Spanish, our statewide candidates and research ballot measures, working with the state library, talking books, and braille services. We produced these in large print, audio, and braille versions. With their advice, we addressed all concerns for online reader compatibility posting on our website, maintained and hyperlinked centrally at the State Elections Division. After the 2014 election, we built a League Oregon Who Represents You public services website. We compiled an incumbent database with over 7,100 Oregon public offices to their GIS districts using volunteer labor. GIS information was inconsistent, reported in incompatible formats, and sometimes a mystery. Community college districts, for example, don't seem to be well defined. Defining shared regions continues to be complicated. Many special districts are run by elected volunteers, and contact information is very poorly documented. We would like to discuss suggestions for incorporating outside reporting to update voting and incumbent information. It could then be confirmed to maintain validity. Because we work to improve citizen participation in government, we believe it should be easy for Oregonians to reach our public officials and services. Linking services to people has a tremendous value. Our leagues have printed They Represent You pamphlets for a very long time. They include local contact information. Now the league has collected information for services administered diversely through our counties, cities, and over 100 varieties of special districts and through our many state agencies. Finding them was difficult, in part because the geospatial data and geographic information services, GIS, that manage the data are not uniform. The process is not as efficient and effective as it should be. Sharing information and collaborating would better serve the public. We've been discussing possible improvements. Improve coordination between our multiple elections officials, municipal, county, and state, for soliciting and reporting candidate filings and election results. Integrate GIS information processing for Oregon counties and special districts with the state to coordinate services and optimize integration between agencies. Am I losing you?
I'll be honest. You asked me a question. The answer is yes. I don't know whether you're telling us what a great job the League of Women Voters has done or that you're supporting this initiative or we should take a page out of your book. I'm sort of wandering out in the woods by myself. I don't know what you're telling us exactly.
Okay. Co-chairs, Senator Johnson, I beg your forgiveness for...
You don't have to... Maybe I'm too stupid to get it.
No, not at all. No. This... please bear with me. You're exactly right. Part of this is directly pertinent to the bill, and part of it is only obliquely pertinent to the bill, but it's what brought me, and I'll be closing the loop in about 30 seconds here, I hope.
All right.
I'll have to read fast to do that. Bear with me.
Please continue.
Where was I? Then my next point actually addresses particularly a point you brought up last week, Senator Johnson. Ensure that as information changes, updates are applied, not accumulating as a backlog. Disconnects between agencies and data gaps led us to this data sharing work group last summer and now to support House Bill 2906. It took thousands of hours for us to compile the office information, which to a large degree now only needs to be maintained and updated. We believe a comprehensive Oregon Public Service website would be a valuable public service, also very useful within public agencies. Standardizing GIS districts, site maintenance responsibility and funding would need to be addressed. It could be more professionally produced by a state agency, and this is already under discussion. Looking at our indices, the then director, Elections Director Jim Williams, was amazed to see that his home address is served by a library district. Effective GIS coordination and geospatial data sharing between districts and through the geospatial data library called for in House Bill 2906 will make maintenance of our voter services databases much easier. Separate from voter service, I'm almost done, thank you. Separate from voter service, the League has followed the update of ancient computer systems in our natural resources agencies. With each request, we have asked that the new system be compatible with other agencies, since much natural resource data is cross-shared among agencies as they process permits or make other decisions. We have also encouraged local governments, as they update their systems, to also consider how those systems might interact or provide data sharing with these state agencies. This session, we're engaged in assisting the Department of Environmental Quality as they take first steps toward updating their systems. The work to be done by this council will provide a stronger voice to reach this goal. Fiscal impact for this bill could be offset by reducing the cost of the estimated $200 million annually spent in reconciling GIS incompatibilities and by efficiently sharing data between Oregon government agencies. Success of our state resiliency plan will depend upon streamlined coordination. As Oregonians and League members, we support this effort and look forward to supporting government efficiency improvements. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this legislation.
Thank you. Yeah, Senator.
Which agency did you say that League of Women Voters was helping to update? Was it DEQ or the Environmental Quality Commission? It was right at the end of your testimony.
Okay. That was, hold on. Do you know Peggy Lynch?
Yes.
Peggy Lynch submitted this form for this testimony. This particular section, I can follow up if I'm not able to.
Just read me the name.
Department of Environmental Quality?
I guess I'm asking a rhetorical question. I want to make sure you know it's rhetorical. I'm trying to figure out why advocacy groups are helping state agencies update processes, and that would be something that I would take up with the agency. You don't have to respond. I'm just musing aloud.
Yeah. Welcome, Daryl. If you could just introduce yourself for the record.
Co-chair, members of the committee, Daryl Fuller on behalf of the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. Geographic data is how we make our living, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today. A couple of caveats. Number one, I know absolutely nothing about culverts, so I hope I can get through the testimony without being asked any questions about culverts.
At least you know the number of the bill.
I do know that. Thank you, Senator. Second, I would point out that we did submit testimony to OLIS, and upon arriving, I noticed a spelling error. I don't know if state law allows exhibits to be replaced with corrected information, but if it does, I'll send you a corrected version after the hearing, because the people that I represent are the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon, and I use the acronym PLAO instead of SO, and I think that has to do with the size of my fingers more than anything else. PLSO was involved in the work group that put together the legislation that you have before you. I did a real quick sort of back of the napkin addition. I think there's 21 members of this council, of which four are not full-time government employees from one agency or another. There's two legislators, there's a member of the public, and then there's a member that represents an association that has interest in geospatial data. That would kind of be us. I think there's value to having outside stakeholders involved in these kind of organizations. As the committee staff mentioned at the beginning, there's amendments coming that perhaps is going to increase and balloon the number of people on the council beyond 21. Certainly don't want to advocate that you add anymore, but I do think it's important that we continue to have outside actors pay attention to what's going on in these councils and sort of advocate for the way that they are being used. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Thank you. I appreciate the two of you. All right. Rob and Cy, if you folks want to come on down.
Mr. Co-Chairs,
you want to come on down.
Members of the committee, for the record, Rob Ovette, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties. AOC is also supportive of this bill, and I'll keep my comments real brief. We are supportive with amendments. I think the amendments have been forwarded from Multnomah County Council to your staff, and so hopefully when the amendments come back out, we can look at it and all look good and sing kumbaya.
Thank you.
That was quick. Members of the committee, my name is Cy Smith. I'm the State Geospatial Information Officer. I actually registered because I thought you might have some questions of me, and thought I should register, but I don't have any specific testimony other than what I provided last time. I actually could go to the – I was asked a question by Representative Marsh, who's not here today, last time right after the committee hearing about the website that we created that shows what framework data is. It's on our website. I could actually go there and show you what framework data is if that was something of interest to you. So I think we probably have the ability to do that right now, but we don't have to do that. So up to you all.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me ask a question really quick. And I think it's been hinted at by several folks who have shared thoughts with us today. I think there's going to be an enthusiasm on the front end to collect and share. And I hear what Senator Johnson was saying, and I concur with that as well, that there will be some guardedness from some folks. How do we maintain that consistently into the future? I'm worried about the typical website that gets built, looks great, everyone's thrilled, and 3 months later, it's not updated. And, you know, let's take the culvert as an example. All it takes is for ODOT to fix one culvert, but not to add it into the system, mm-hmm. and now our data's outdated. How do we do that? And have we started to think about the cost associated with maintaining that type of record keeping?
Well, co-chair, members of the committee, we certainly have started thinking about the cost of it. We've been thinking about the cost of it for a long time. We know, as I mentioned in my testimony last week, that we spend $5.4 billion every year on geospatial data. A lot of that is maintaining the data as well as using it. And we know that we're wasting a lot of that because we're duplicating the effort. I would say that probably the single best approach to making sure that we take this into account and that we keep things updated is by getting all the stakeholders involved at that council level. But it's not just about the council. We have a whole governance structure underneath the council that we've had in place for quite some time, but that, again, has been led by, you know, state government. So getting all the local folks and other stakeholders involved is going to actually improve that tremendously. But it's all about that workflow and setting that up properly, and then keeping it up to date. We've got a governance structure, our framework implementation teams that are organized around each one of the framework themes of data: transportation, imagery, elevation, roads, etc., surface water, and those framework teams are going to be one of the key players in terms of making sure that we continue to keep everything up to date. But it really gets back to having all the right players at the local government level engaged in this activity, because a team of folks in a governance structure don't update data.
So do you anticipate there will be incentives or penalties? All it would take is one person within Multnomah County, because of the magnitude of the population and all the activity that goes on there, to not be a good participant. And that could really leave a major hole in the system. How do we encourage to make sure that doesn't, you know, that we don't have those voids?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways to do that. One is certainly financial incentives, and we're going to have to look at that. And I think we actually, I mean, the point of the testimony that I was giving about the finances is that we actually already have enough money in the game now to be able to provide those financial incentives. We're just not spending it wisely. We're not spending it efficiently because we're duplicating effort. So I think that there is money in the, there's plenty of money in the system. If there's money in the system to do it 10 times, there's certainly enough money to do it one time and do it right. But there are other incentives in terms of workflow and work process, because all of these things are interrelated. If you look at all of the work that happens around transportation, around public safety, around economic development, around social services, and around natural resource management, those are things that happen up and down the stacks of government: federal, state, regional, local, tribal, et cetera. All of those kinds of activities have interrelated things happening at all the different levels of government. So the more we can integrate those pieces with the data, the more interrelated they're going to become, the more dependent they will be on each other, and the more we will have people actually incentivized to work together on these things.
Got it. So, yeah. Senator Johnson, you have a question?
I guess I'm just sitting here having a bad case of deja vu. One of the cautions in embarking on an undertaking of this magnitude, I think, is to assure this high degree of coordination. I remember sitting in this same hearing room talking about the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network, formed for valid and lofty purposes, hundreds of millions of dollars spent, bounced around from one management team to another. Almost no accountability, reports of towers that were built that weren't. And at the end of the day, we have a system wherein first responders cannot communicate with each other inside a building. And we have a price tag of hundreds of millions of dollars to show for that. So I think putting together whether I get the nomenclature of your business, Mr. McSpadden, all screwed up, but whether or not this is a rigorous stage gate or how you go about watching it. There are profound lessons learned from Owen, because we have something that functionally isn't serviceable now. And this feels a little like that.
Yeah. Please.
Co-Chair Smith, members of the committee, Senator Johnson. As we mentioned in the last public hearing on the 4th with invited testimony, in kind of the lead-in summary that I gave for this public hearing, we reiterated the fact that the component regarding mandatory data sharing is delayed. So there are multiple sections within this bill. The portions of the bill that are operative first involve the establishment of the Oregon Geographic Information Council, which will now be a multi-jurisdictional body, fully representative of the public bodies that are involved in this topic area in each of the framework data theme areas. The reason we wanted to, the work group, the JLCMT and the state CIO wanted to focus on the formation of the council first was to ensure that that body had time to form, that data standards and rules and policies around kind of the rules of the road, the rules of engagement between all the parties could be set prior to the mandatory data sharing components of the bill. Most of the data in this this realm or domain is public. The vast majority of geospatial data and geospatial framework data is open to the public now. There are only limited portions of that data. We talked about some of those exemptions. Mr. Anderson spoke of some of those exemptions in his testimony. But in essence, it will take time for the group to form up, to develop those standards, and to lay the foundation for the actual sharing of data, the contribution to the library to occur. And we wanted to give them time to do that. So there are some of the concerns that are being raised. We've tried to alleviate by not forcing an implementation day one. So,
are there processes in place to preserve the trust relationships as you go forward? So often in this building, a key person disappears from the scene, and we're either back to zero or everybody's at each other's throats when there are personnel substitutions. And I know there's no prophylactic against somebody deciding they want to take a job with IBM and they disappear. But to the greatest degree possible, if you can insulate this group from a lot of personnel changes, I think that would be really helpful as they set that trust platform that will allow them to go forward.
Some great advice, certainly.
Yeah. Could I answer that as well, just a little bit, and add a little bit to it? Members of the committee, Senator Johnson, I had a couple of points I wanted to make about sort of, I wrote down some notes about dissimilarities between this and Owen, and really dissimilarities between this and a lot of different projects that you might bring up that haven't been as successful. You know, we've been at this since 1983 with this council. We've learned a lot of lessons with this council already about how to work together and how to maintain good working relationships. We have a few things that we haven't ever managed to quite figure out, and that's really what we're kind of coming to the legislature to help us figure out now. We think we've got our arms around a couple of key points that we haven't ever been able to quite manage, and that is one of those is about the stakeholders and getting all the right stakeholders at the table and putting a governance structure in statute that will maintain that that relation, those relationships, and maintain the right number of stakeholders, the right people at the table. It's not the only answer that there is, and certainly we have to continue to work together, but we've also been doing that for a long time. So we've had a lot of the same people. You heard Dean talk about how long he's been at this. I've been at this table for 17 years myself, working together with these folks. But even if we walked away, there are a lot of other people who've been at it a long time that are going to continue. And then the last point I would make is we're not talking about a program or a project that is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. That's not this at all. We're already spending a lot of money, and we're not spending it quite as wisely as we should be. And what we want to do is try to make a few key changes so that we're spending the money that all the government bodies at all levels are already spending, but spend it more wisely.
Well, that, do you anticipate that that'll take statutory changes?
I think basically putting this council in place is really the key driver, and putting it in place with the kind of structure that we're proposing.
Okay. Yeah. Co-Chair Smith, members of the committee, another key component is the establishment of the Oregon Geographic Information Council Fund. The multi-representative or multi-jurisdictional partners that we're part of, the work group really felt it important, if they were going to kind of dare to believe, to contribute monies from local governments, tribes, regional governments, to a shared data purchase like aerial imagery, like LIDAR statewide, any number of other data sets that I could mention. They wanted some real transparency and accountability in terms of we put money in, it was spent for specific purposes, and there's transparent reporting on that fund. They didn't want to have those monies commingled with other state operating funds. So that's another important piece of the puzzle that the, in particular, the local government representatives on the work group requested.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? All righty, gentlemen. Thank you very much. So we have no one else signed up to testify. Is there anyone else that wants to jump up here really quick? Last chance. All right. Colleagues, any questions or comments as it relates to today's public hearing? We're good. Mr. Co-Chair, we're going to adjourn. You okay with that?
Let's do it.
All right. We good with that? Everyone's good?
1500.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, Michael. Adjourned. Thank you, Michael.